Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs 28:20 says, "A faithful person will have many blessings, but the one who makes haste to get rich will not go unpunished." The antithetic parallelism gives us a characterization of two different individuals and two different outcomes or consequences. We see that a faithful person is being paralleled with one who makes haste to get rich. When we hear the phrase, a faithful person, it often evokes the notion of someone who is righteous and obedient to God. This nuance can definitely be part of the meaning in view here, but the idea of being steadfast and diligent in one's work is likely the more predominant meaning of the phrase. A faithful person is someone who is reliable and can be counted on to do consistent, honest, and sincere work. The opposite of a faithful person is a person who makes haste to get rich. The description of this individual in the second line, it isn't primarily about the speed at which they seek to attain wealth. The Book of Proverbs is not condemning productivity and working swiftly and efficiently. In Proverbs, the idea of doing something quickly or with haste is typically associated with evil and wrongdoing. The Hebrew word translated makes haste occurs three other places in Proverbs, and each time it is used with the connotation of a negative trait or action. For example, in Proverbs 19, verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is not good to have a desire without knowledge, and one who makes haste with his feet commits sin." Also, Proverbs 21, 5, "The plans of a diligent person surely will lead to abundance, but everyone who acts hastily surely will come to poverty." And then in Proverbs 29, verse 20, "Do you see a person who is hasty with his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." I think we can confidently say that doing things with haste is not a desirable course of action for one who wants to live with wisdom. There is something about attempting to shortcut honest and sincere work that tends to lead people into compromising their integrity, cutting corners, and relaxing their morals in order to justify their pursuit of the goal of obtaining wealth as quickly as possible. This way of thinking, that is, how to get rich quick, it reminds me of a time in my life when I was younger and in my first year of college. At that time, one of my friends approached me and wanted to share with me an opportunity that he had recently stumbled upon. What my friend shared with me was an easy way to make money while I was in school, and that could potentially provide me with residual income for the rest of my life. I didn't know it at the time, but what my friend was sharing with me is known as a multi-level marketing for a direct sales company called Quickstar, also known as Amway. What Quickstar offers is an independent business owner's model for direct sales, where an individual can earn money based upon their sales, as well as a percent of the sales from other independent business owners beneath them that they have helped join the company. My point in telling you this story is not to discuss the legal or ethical issues of multi-level marketing, but to convey the attitude that I had at the time when I decided to try this business venture. I was enamored by the thought of being able to earn money, and potentially lots of it, relatively quickly, and then be able to keep receiving money, if I reached a certain size of business, without doing much work from then on for the rest of my life. In other words, I thought I could get rich and be set for life. Well, little did I know about how much actual work it takes to build a direct sales network. My friend made it seem like it was much easier than it really is. Being young and poor, my mind cooked up all sorts of dreams about living large and retiring by the time I was 30 years old. But such is the naive thinking and greedy desire of a 20-year-old. In the end, thankfully, it didn't take me too long, about a year, to wake up and realize that what I was pursuing was vanity and was motivated by a sinful desire. I would like to wrap up this incident in my life by saying that this was my experience, and I'm not trying to make remarks about this type of business model or others that could afford a person the opportunity to make a lot of money in a relatively short amount of time. For example, like investments such as stocks, currency, futures, real estate, and so on. The point is that I was trying to make haste to get rich, and I ended up losing a lot of money and severely regretting it. Getting back to the proverb, if we look at the paralleled phrases at the end of both lines, we see that the first line, that is the faithful person, results in having many blessings. And then in the second line, the one who makes haste to get rich, results in being punished. First, the idea of receiving blessings is as generic and vague as the idea of being unpunished or will not go unpunished. Certainly, both have several dimensions to them. Blessings can consist of physical entities like financial prosperity, increases in personal possessions and property, success in business, but it can also entail immaterial things like happiness, peace of mind, satisfaction in one's work, strong character and discipline, a good reputation, and other virtuous qualities and life experiences. Ultimately, the blessings come from Yahweh, as it says in Proverbs 10:20. The blessing from Yahweh is what makes one rich. On the other hand, what it means to be punished can refer to physical consequences like undergoing litigations, that is, lawsuits, and potentially being sent to jail. But it can also have an immaterial component, such as chronic stress, disappointment, the sudden loss of those riches, and other perilous and detrimental life experiences that come to those who seek get-rich-quick schemes. The principle of the proverb is that more often than not, trying to obtain money quickly leads to shortcuts and often dishonest means that are unethical or immoral, and the person who walks that path will likely not escape unharmed. Well, throughout history, greed and the desire to be rich have driven many a person to try anything they could think of to get their hands on money. More overt and violent methods have consisted of theft and burglary. That is, if a person wanted a lot of money, they would just attempt to take it from someone who had it, like a bank or a rich person. But others have tried more subtle and creative ways to obtain money quickly. One famous example of a person who took the more subtle route was Charles Ponzi. Ponzi was born in 1882 in Parma, Italy. When he was 21 years old, Ponzi immigrated to the United States, and he had just over $2 in his pocket and nothing to his name. Upon arriving in the United States, Ponzi worked small jobs along the East Coast, including being a sign painter in Florida for a while, and then a dishwasher at a restaurant, and eventually a waiter, before being fired for shortchanging customers and embezzling money. After moving to Montreal and being an assistant bank teller for a short stint, Ponzi was arrested for forging a signature on a check that he wrote to himself, and he spent 3 years in prison. Upon his release in 1911, he relocated to Boston. He got married in 1918 and was living life, looking for how to land the big score that would make him rich. And that opportunity came a few years later when he received a Spanish International Reply coupon, an IRC, that he could redeem in the United States. He reasoned that if he could purchase coupons in countries with weaker economies and then sell them in countries with stronger economies, then he could hedge a 10% profit on each one and make a financial killing. And so, in 1920, Ponzi started a new business he called the Securities Exchange Company, and he began publicly advertising it as an investment opportunity, promising high returns to investors. Ponzi convinced a number of friends in Boston that with this investment model, he could double their investment in 90 days. Within the first 2 months, he had generated approximately $5,000. Well, that's almost $65,000 in 2020 today. And he was able to repay the original investors in less than 45 days. This produced an incredible amount of interest, and by the end of the first quarter, Ponzi's investment plan had generated $420,000. That's about $5.5 million today in 2020. Well, by June in 1920, Ponzi had made millions of dollars from investors who had mortgaged their homes and given their life savings to his company. Little did they know that his scheme was to pay the preceding investors with the money given from subsequent new investors. However, in the middle of 1920, some people began suspecting that Ponzi's business was doing something illegal in order to generate such high returns in such a short period of time. It was figured out that for Ponzi to cover the investments that he had made to his business, there would have to be 160 million postal reply coupons in circulation. But in reality, there were only 27,000. When this information was released, mass panic ensued, and Ponzi paid out over $2 million in 3 days to investors who wanted to back out, all the while trying to placate the rest of the investors to leave their money with his company. But then on August 2nd in 1920, Ponzi's former publicity agent, William McMasters, he published an article describing how Ponzi was robbing Peter to pay Paul. Next, on August 11th, the Post published a story about Ponzi's criminal history in Montreal. And on account of this exposure, Ponzi surrendered to the authorities the next day and was charged with mail fraud. Ponzi's fraud scheme with the Securities Exchange Company led to the demise of 6 banks, the victimization of 10,000 investors with $20 million in overall losses. That's over $260 million today in 2020. In November of 1920, Ponzi pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison. Then, upon being released in 1924, he was indicted on 22 charges of larceny in the state of Massachusetts, and he was sentenced to 7 to 9 years in state prison, but was eventually released on bail, at which time he fled to the state of Florida. The story continues in Florida with Ponzi trying to regain his fortune with a fraud scheme that entailed selling pseudo-real estate lots near Jacksonville, Florida, or so that was what he advertised. The real estate lots were actually 65 miles west of Jacksonville, with many of them being unusable land that was underwater. Well, he was again arrested, and he was sentenced to a year of hard labor at Florida's state penitentiary in 1926. There are many other incidents like this in the life of Charles Ponzi, but suffice it to say that Ponzi's desire to get rich quick led him to use lies and deception as a means to obtain wealth. And then, when he had gained his riches, he would be arrested and condemned as a criminal and lose it all. This happened over and over throughout his life. So while I don't suspect anyone listening would ever consider committing fraud in order to get money, I think we can all relate to Ponzi's desire to not have to work hard for money. There's something inside us, in our flesh, that is our sin, that makes hard work seem naturally undesirable. We tend to want to have things come easily to us, and for life to be simple, and to not have to worry about things like money. So we want a lot of it so we don't have to keep earning it. But what we often forget is that God designed us to work, and that there is an inherent pleasure that can be found in honest, hard work. And those who understand this will find life more fulfilling and satisfying. If we will be faithful as trustworthy and reliable workers, God will bless the work of our hands, and He will provide what we need. Wisdom tells us to be content with what God bestows upon us, knowing that honoring Yahweh with our integrity and character is of greater value than all the money in the world. Let's be satisfied and enjoy the blessings that come from being a faithful worker in all that we do.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.